Well, we'll begin now with the last, the two last segments of this afternoon. Madame, Monsieur, je vais vous présenter un artiste, un musicien, qui a dédié sa vie à la musique militaire. Il a une collection de musique militaire que je le crois, je suis bien sûr que votre collection, Fred Williams, est la collection de musique militaire la plus grande de tout le monde entier. I want to introduce you to Fred Williams, an artist, musician who has probably the biggest collection of military music in the entire world. He will talk about Giuseppe Creatore. Fred Williams is a concert band record collector, discographer, writer. He graduated from Oberlin College and Teachers College of Columbia University. He also attended the University of Michigan. He was a high school orchestra and band director for 11 years, and for the last 28 years he has been a stockbroker. On August the 12th of 1987, he retired from 30 fall, winter, spring seasons and 25 summers as manager of the Symphony Club of Philadelphia, the Fleischer Collection, Symphony Orchestra and Concert Band. He's a professional tuba player and can normally be found, he says, at this time of the year, playing for Italian holidays and fiestas. He's also a dealer in 78 LPs, 45 and cylinders. Et vous parlez là maintenant de le musicien italien Giuseppe Creatore. He will talk to you now about the great music band leader of the 1920s and 30s, Giuseppe Creatore from Italy.
Just want to make sure that you have a set of this. Would you take the top two pages and keep those at hand, because I'm going to do something a little different, and that is I'm going to do the sound simultaneously with the pictures. I have an hour and a half presentation that has to be done in 30 minutes. As you can see, the chronology of events is the third piece, the third pages, group of pages, discography, the fourth, and finally the credits, the fifth. I will continuously run the music, and I'll take about 15 seconds per slide.
That's fine that way. Thank you. second paragraph. That's very important. I'd like to make some remarks about the band. You're wondering why I didn't make comments going along. I just think that this man's story had to tell, this story had to be told by him more than by me. Anything that I add is kind of superfluous, and the only regret I have is that the system here won't have the words as they've gone along. But that's an hour and a half show, and you can understand that from my past performance unofficially. Now, he is America's best-known Italian bandsman. Contrary to some opinion, he was not the first touring band in America of Italian extraction, he himself. As you can see from some of the announcements, he did go into opera in the period 1916-17 and sporadically after 1922. I have cited programs of Minoliti and the band in from 1900, and I think the fabulous testimony here is to the programming over a 25-year period, which we are so fortunate in having the programs, the entire programs from Willow Grove from 1896 to 1925 in the Free Library of Philadelphia for perusal for anybody who wants to find out about what Walter Damrosch did, what Frederick Stock did, what Victor Herbert did. And I assure you that the continuity is just phenomenal for Sousa, obviously, and many others there. And don't forget Vasily Leps. Yeah, okay. I want to apologize for not giving, as I say, this commentary right along with it. Now, I do solicit your assistance in supplying any details that you might have, printed references, photographs, and so forth. His story is not done. I took great pains to find out if he did any radio transcriptions, and Ken Crawford, whom some of you know is probably the expert on the orthoacoustics and worlds, and he could not find his name, although he did conduct the New York Symphonic Wind Band, and it may be that he is on. I am not sure about that. I have not found any evidence. It would be a great shame to know, and I have to make one correction in the notes. The last recording was made in 1930, not 1933, which is even more of a shame. I apologize to my Canadian friends because I did not get the time to do the research of his appearances at the Toronto Exposition, which covered many years. And there are many connections that Creator had here, and I believe both opera and the concert band. I think that it's amazing that the man wore two hats. I want to make some comments personally. Henry Crespi sent me a letter just 2 days before I typed material. Henry has suffered a stroke and was the former manager of the Allentown Band, and his comments are printed in part there. But what is amazing is that I read in some of these newspaper articles, 50 years of newspaper articles, that the man was like a wet towel after a rehearsal or a concert. And I haven't even reviewed the 4 hours of tapes that I had with Luigi Creatore. And Creator or Creatori, the family says either way. If you're an Italian, you say Creatori. I haven't even gone over any of that material. I've lost my train of thought there. If you know of any person that has played with a band, I would appreciate that. I did not get enough material from people who played, particularly the 20s and 30s. I'm sure there are survivors. Some of you know that I advertised in the International Musician, and I got about 4 results, and also the New York Union, Arlegro, and I got some 3 calls from people who are in Florida, Kansas, California, in that respect. There's much to say about Creator. I don't know exactly, but I do think that he came to the United States in 1899 with Minoletti. And of course, some of you who remember that Giannini is the first opera singer to make a record in 1895, was the manager of the 1900 group, and that Channing Ellery, for whom the Ellery Band was named, is involved there. And there are many other personalities not so famous in the Italian scene. But what glorious music. Truly, the man, I have said this for many years, was the embodiment of Toscanini in temperament and action. Lo and behold, in reading Smith's material, he mentions the fact that here is the Toscanini of the band. I thought I'd fall over when I read that. The thing I forgot to tell you before is that one of the theses that I had to go on was that this man was a showboat. And from the material you can see, in other words, he really, this was ridiculous. This was not him. It was not so. It was the man. At home, if you caught him over the table, according to Luigi, and you got hit his hot button, the gesticulations that you would get out of this man are incredible. He just he would be wound up like a clock, and the motor kinetic energy would just come out in his fingertips and the rest of his body. He'd shake himself. He'd just almost go into convulsions. This was the natural man. This was not a put-on. And therefore, all of these annexes and all of these critical writings, as well as the complimentary, and they were more complimentary than critical, embody the view of this man going berserk, getting on his knees, shaking his head, going back into the trombone section, standing right over the piccolo and the flute, and above all, not ever, ever using a piece of music. He had it committed to memory. He finally, Henry's remark about the man having a phenomenal ear is what he says was demonstrated in double forte, triple forte passages. He could pick out the player who was erring. This remarkable man, his story has never been told. The parody that exists in Bands of America by Schwartz is an unfair treatment. But then who's had the time and the drive to find out? And I am indeed fortunate that Rosina is still alive, because it was she, as well as Luigi and Alba, who supplied me 3 weeks before with the photos. And I didn't know whether I'd get them. Do you have questions? I never saw Creator at all. It's ironic because I was in New York at the time of his last concert at Randall's Island Stadium. Is that what it is? Yeah. It's really, really a sad for me. Yes? I had hoped to find Palma, Madame Palma, on, and in the entry books, there is some reference to her, but it's not so. I mean, I don't know. I've checked that one record in which there is a reference, and I've not found it, not any alternate take either. Yes?
I'm curious, looking through your discography, I see he starts out recording for the big companies, Columbia and Edison, and then there's this curious dip in the middle where he's recording for Paramount, and the records are issued on Greyville, and some of them are anonymous, and then he bounces back, and he's got this glorious run of records with Victor. What's the story here? Why this come down in the middle of his recording?
Well, what I didn't mention was that he had a session in either 1905 or 1906. I couldn't find my stack of material. The first 20 years that I did work at RCA, it's somewhere in that vast room back there. It's so I couldn't pinpoint the date. But he did have a session with Victor, but they didn't release a thing in 1905 or 6. And I don't have an answer as to why sporadic efforts here. Certainly the recording companies had every opportunity. He was not the easiest man, I would say, judging from comments, and this is all in his latter age, to deal with. On the other hand, Mr. Smith claims that he had this brainstorm and walked over there to catch him after a session at Willow Grove and signed him up. That's the only thing we have in writing indicating the circumstances. Victor was looking. What a happy affair, because here it is in the electrical era, and every single Victor recording is electrical. I mean, this is the most glorious effort in the history of band music ever. I don't care who it is, even including Bob Hose, because it's not the original thing. And to hear these things through is an absolute revelation and experience. And for you people who love opera, the other comment to make about this music is that it's in manuscript. You can't find any of these operatic arrangements published. And I understand that Dick Warren, is he here? Shame on you, Dick. He has a lot of some material on the Creator manuscripts. I understand there's another place that has some. But I can tell you that in Joseph Menichini's basement, he died a year ago this month, sits the basement floor full of not only Creator's manuscripts, but Gerardo Iacilli's manuscripts, and the other man I want to present sometime, Salvatore Menichini, his manuscripts. That's incredible. They have limited value, but they would be valuable to be used again. Unfortunately, Joseph thought that they were worth a lot of money, and he held out for money, but time took him first. So I don't know the other circumstance. I don't know. The Paramount thing is kind of strange, but not so strange when you get down to it. There are some few erratic things in the matrix numbers, which you can see. And I don't have all the data. I'm surprised you didn't pick up the information on HMV and also that's the Disco Gramofono and La Voce da Padroni. You know, for me, it's ironic. I called Bill Prine of the Barnum & Bailey, and I said, look, I've got every one of his opera things, but one, the last one. He says, you've got the last one, I sold it to you. It's in La Voce del Padrone. You'll notice that the William Tell ballet, the rarest of all of them, I have on La Voce del Padrone. It's crazy, but I don't know. Yes?
What instrument did he play?
He's identified in Hazen's book, the recent Hazen book, that miraculous book on bands, as playing trumpet. No, he's a trombone player. And in that first year, there were, 50 or 60? Another time?
One more question?
Yes. Sure.
What about the parts? Were the parts down in the basement? Are the parts anyplace?
Yes. The whole...
the whole thing?
Yes, the whole arrangement, not just the conductor score, no. Yes?
Did anybody make any movies of
him? Wouldn't that be... No. And I don't know that he ever appeared. I can't answer that. I don't know. That's one area I didn't get into. If anybody knows anything about Creator appearing in any kind of a short, bless you, I'd like to hear about it. Yes?
Did he ever play in any of the vaudeville houses like the Palace in New York or the Paramount Theater or any of those places?
Well, yes, in the early stages. That's where he made his name. In some of those places, I don't know, there's ones mentioned there. Yes, he did. Very definitely, and that's what sprung him. The ladies went nuts. They went up on the tables, standing and jumping up and down to his stuff and going wild over him. He was truly the Bobby Soxers were after him.
Thank you very much, Fred William, for a wonderful presentation on Giuseppe Creatore.